Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Robert Morgan, the Florida air traffic controller, 20 years in a tower, 1,200 hours flying. He as an instructor, yes, but most, I don't believe most air traffic controllers necessarily fly airplanes. Like, they land airplanes, but they just tell you your coordinates to come in. You know, they're watching radar. They're seeing all the traffic in the sky, and they're bringing this in. Yes. And, yeah, air Jenga. Yeah. And so he ends up with this terrible responsibility of an unconscious pilot, a guy who doesn't know how to fly, and he's hurtling towards him at, you know, a few hundred miles an hour, and he's just descending, and either going to fly around till you run out of fuel, or you're going to land it, or you're going to crash it. Those, you know, that's it. You're coming back to Earth at some point. You're either going to come in nicely, or you're going to come in the worst possible way. And the audio from this thing is pretty over the top.
I've got a serious situation here. My pilot is gone incoherent. I have no idea how to fly the airplane, but I'm in 90-100.
Number 333, Lima Delta, roger. What's your position?
I have no idea. I see the coast of Florida in front of me, and I have no idea.
3 Lima Delta, can you say again what the situation is?
He is incoherent. He is out.
3 Lima Delta, roger. Try to hold the wings level and see if you can start descending for me. Push forward on the controls and descend at a very slow rate.
Yeah, I'm descending right now at 550 feet a minute, passing 8640.
Continue the descent and try to level off at 5,000 feet.
10-4, passing 8600.
Continue to stay wings level, maintain 5,000, and follow the coast, and we're going to try to find you here on the radar.
Okay, 10-4.
Continue to maintain 5,000 northbound over the beach.
American 1845, you can make the left turn there. Hold short of 10 left. It's going to be a couple minutes. You just witnessed a couple passengers land that plane. Man, they did a great job.
Did you say the passengers landed the airplane?
That's correct.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, no, great job.
No flying experience. We got a controller that worked them down. That's a flight instructor.
That's it.
Our next guest made headlines last week when, after a distress call that a pilot had suffered a medical emergency on a flight from the Bahamas to Florida, he helped passenger Darren Harrison, who had no flight experience, safely land the Cessna in Palm Beach. Please welcome air traffic controller Robert Morgan.
Robert Morgan, how are you this morning?
Hi, good morning, guys. How are you doing?
Good, man. Listen, you're going to have to get one of those wallets that says Bad Mother Effer on it. You really,
oh, man.
That's what an amazing story. It's, you're an air traffic controller, and everybody, we've been talking about this on the show this morning. What happened that day? You're at work, and you've been an air traffic controller with 20 years in the tower. You're also an instructor. For new pilots, but you get that call, which you in your wildest dreams ever imagined you'd get a call from a completely inexperienced passenger on a small aircraft that says, hey, the pilot's out. I don't know what I'm doing. What do I do?
Right. So it's a very rare thing to happen. You know, I know it's happened before a few times, but, I was actually on break at the time, and I just get this call. Like an immediate come to the TRACON immediately. And we normally don't do stuff like that. So I just rushed into the room and they kind of briefed me on what was going on. And you want me to tell the whole story?
Of course. No, I want to hear everything because I'm looking, by the way, at a cockpit picture of that Cessna. And
right.
And I'm like, it's a considerable, you know, you look at the amount of gauges. It's not a, you know, a biplane where there's just a stick and a rudder, right? It's real.
Right.
There's a lot of avionics on board.
Right. So it's got the more advanced screens and stuff, that what they call glass cockpit now.
Yeah.
So very nice plane. But I go into the radar room and my supervisor briefed me like, hey, this is a situation. We have passengers flying the plane, two passengers on board. The pilot's unconscious. Since you're a flight instructor and you're the most current, we want you to help them land on a runway somewhere. They don't care where he lands. Just get them to an airport where he can land.
Oof.
I said, okay. So I kind of like feel like, you know, the big weight put on you, on your shoulders. Everybody's watching you in the room. Plus, I'm like, you know, I don't even know if I can do this. So I walk over to the radar scope, and normally we would be talking to the pilots with a headset in our ear, and we have like a switch we can key up with our hand, or we use our foot pedal. Well, this was done on like an emergency radio because it was on another tower's frequency. So it was a little bit different situation, and it was a little bit harder to hear because the speaker is a little bit above your head.
Okay.
So anyways, I sit down and I said, all right. And my supervisor said, okay, he's descending from 5,000 to 3,000 was his last instruction. And then I just kind of look at it and I said, okay, I'm talking to him now, to my supervisor. He said, yeah, you're talking to him. I said, okay, here we go. So I said, sir, can you hear me? 333 Lima Delta. He said, yes, I can hear you. I said, what do you see? He said, I got the shoreline off my right side, which was the Atlantic from, we're in Florida here.
Right. Yep.
So yeah, I got the shoreline off my right side. I said, okay, well, we're going to try to get you to a runway. Boca Raton is going to be coming up. I'm going to point it out as you get closer. So I try not to talk in the air traffic terms because they
sure, like, of course,
this, but it just comes out naturally. So I'm like, Boca Raton is at your 10 o'clock and 4 miles. So I was like, wait a minute, he's not going to understand all this aviation lingo. So I come back and I say, Boca is going to be off your left ahead. Just let me know if you see it. And I believe he came back and he said he did see it because he's a little bit higher, so it's easier to see when you're higher. And then I kind of just, okay, stand by a second. So I'm starting to brainstorm, and I said, well, I'm located here at Palm Beach International. So the difference at Palm Beach International, it's the primary big airport.
Yes.
So it's got longer runways, more emergency services, and, you know, that's where all the big jets come in. So I started to think, you know, Boca is very congested area. It's small, smaller runway, and just one runway, one taxiway, very congested. So if something goes wrong there, it's not going to be good. So I just say, hey, we need to get them to the bigger runway, especially right. Someone that doesn't know how to fly.
Let me ask you this. Well, when you start to talk to him, and he's already told you, I have no experience. Like, when you hear his voice,
right,
do you say to yourself, this guy has a chance, or do you think that dear God and sweet Jesus? Because
just for him, he was already flying the plane probably by then, about, I would say, rough estimate, probably like maybe 30 minutes.
Oh.
So he was already able to maintain control of the plane by then. And I was like, all right, well, he's maintaining control. Now let's try to, you know, he's already turned the plane and all this stuff. So I had pretty good confidence then. I just knew that the landing was going to be tricky. So what I told him, because the plane is normally stable in pitch, but not so stable in turn. So if you turn and you don't stop turning, like you don't kind of roll back out a little bit, the
right,
plane will keep turning and it's very unstable. It'll go into like a spiral kind of.
Right, sure.
If you
sure
don't correct it.
Yeah, well, you lose all the lift on your wings, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So now I just tell him, make shallow turns, you know, just turn a little bit to your right, and I want you to keep the shoreline off your right so I can get them headed north. So if you look at a track of the plane, there's a website called FlightAware. You can really see mm-hmm it good. So I had him headed north now, and I had him at 3,000, and I said, we're going to take you to Palm Beach because there's a bigger runway, and you'll have a better chance at the landing. And he said, okay. And he said, do you know how to turn my screen back on? Because I asked him, what instruments do you have? So his primary screen, which was called the primary flight display.
Right.
And I'm not sure if he was flying from the right side or the left side, but his primary flight display was out. It was black. But he told me he had altitude. So I was like, okay, don't worry about it, because we can see their, we can kind of see which way the plane's tracking. We can see their altitude and we can see their ground speed. So we had pretty much everything I needed.
Right.
And I said, don't worry about it. So he said, he told me, I don't know how to use the brakes. You know, I don't have any flying experience, and all I have is altitude. And I could hear the other passenger in the background trying to help him.
Right.
So two passengers and one pilot. Pilot unconscious.
Yeah. And but so clearly he's forward thinking. I don't know how to use the brakes, which it tells me, like, okay, this guy's already visualizing himself. What do I got to do in this landing? Like,
right.
What's my next thing? That's pretty fantastic.
The brakes were going to be easy. The brakes were going to be easy part.
Yeah.
it's almost like stopping a car, but it's on the pedals and it's at the very top for most planes. Not all planes, but most planes are like that.
So he's coming in, and he's been able to find an altimeter. He understands as he's dropping as he's decelerating and he's putting it in correctly. Like, he really is at least grasping the overall idea.
Yeah. So it turns out his friend owns that plane, and he's been around aviation for a while. So he's been in and out of, like, small planes. From what I ask him a question, he's like, oh, I don't fly. I'm not a pilot, but I've been in a lot of planes and I've watched what they do.
Wow.
So I think just from kind of observing him, like in an airliner, but in a small plane, he had a really good feel of some of the basics.
So now you're at 3,000 feet and he's headed towards the bigger airport.
Yeah. So 3,000 feet heading towards the bigger airport. Well, we have these really tall TV antennas that sit about 7 miles or so southwest of field. Like 1,500 feet above the ground, and we're at sea level here.
Right.
So I'm like, really, kind of like, hey, I don't want to get them too low near these antennas, and I don't want to just like rush them to get into land. So I brought him across the final, where he would come into land, the runway. I brought him across, I had him north, and I told him, hey, I'm just going to give you a little bit more time to get set up. That way we're not rushing you to get
right.
in.
He's right.
a good idea. It's a good idea. And then I said, you know, we need to work on your speed. So I'm looking at the picture of the cockpit, and I'm looking at what he would be looking at. And I said, hey, there's a throttle. It's black. It's right in the middle. I just want you to pull that back just a little bit so you can slow down. And he did that, and within about 2 minutes, he was showing about 30 knots slower than what he was already doing. So now he's about 130.
Right.
And he told me, he's like, hey, what about flaps? And I said, okay, we can do flaps.
Ooh.
So I said, put one notch of flaps in, which usually means like 10 degrees on planes like those.
Uh-huh.
Put one notch of flaps in. But when you do that, the plane's going to kind of like balloon up. So what you want to do is push forward on the control wheel, like the you know, what
yoke,
helps you go down.
Yeah.
Yeah, the yoke. And then I want you to use the trim wheel to help relieve those pressures. So the trim wheel helps relieve the aerodynamic pressures on the controls.
Right.
So when he did that, I didn't really notice any change in his altitude, but he started kind of turning the plane. So I knew like something was going on. So he said, hey, the plane's kind of flying a little unstable or, you know, erratically. Do we have to have flaps? I said, no, just raise him up.
Yeah.
So once he did that, he was back to normal. He was slow. He was slowed down, and he was at 2,000. So basically, all I did was I said, now he's getting about to be six miles away from the airport or so,
right,
northwest of the airport. I said, okay, we're going to bring you back in. So I just want you to make a shallow turn to the left. Just keep it shallow, and I don't want you to slow down no slower than 110. And I just picked a speed that I thought would work.
Yeah.
Just from observing planes over the years, those type of planes and stuff. So now he kept the same speed. I just warned him, hey, don't go any slower than this.
Yeah. It'll
and
stall.
I asked him, the way he knew not to go slower is because I asked him, do you have airspeed? He said, no. But then the passenger said something to him. He said, oh, wait, we do have airspeed. So now he was looking at these little gauges on the bottom where they're like backup instruments.
Right.
So that's the only thing he could have been looking at, because that's how that plane's set up.
Yeah.
Well, so now he makes this shallow left turn, comes back in, and lines himself perfectly up with the runway. And he's about 8 miles out on the straight in, you know, final for like an eight mile final for a 10,000 foot runway. So he sees this big piece of pavement right in front of him. And all I told him was, hey, I want you to start descending to 1,000, which is we're at sea level here. So 1,000 feet is kind of like what you would normally fly, like your patterns at.
Right.
So now he starts descending slowly, and he's like, hey, how's my altitude look? I think he just wanted me to keep talking to him.
Sure, of course.
Like I was the whole time anyways. I was just trying to make him feel calm, you know, so there's no panic, and just so he knows someone's always there for him. So I just said, as you get closer, I had told him about the brakes. You know, you want to, when you do land, you want to put your feet up at the top of the pedals and just apply pressure. And I told him, as you get closer, the runway is going to look narrow. But as you get closer, it's going to look wider. And as it gets wider, you're going to want to start pulling that throttle back and start pulling the yoke back to you to land.
Right.
And really all I did was every mile or so, I told him, hey, you're 3 mile final. You're at 900 feet. You look great.
Gosh.
You know, you're a 2 mile final. You're 600 feet. You look great. At 300 feet, his data block just fell off the radar scope, which normally is the normal thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I don't know. I'm in a radar room, so I can't see what
now,
he's doing.
Now you don't know. Yeah.
I had a little, like, kind of like mini heart attack myself.
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't say anything, but I'm like, hey, are you still there? He said, yes, I'm still here. And I just reminded him one more time, hey, the runway is going to get bigger as you get closer. Just remember, pull the power back and you know, pull back on the control wheel to land. And then within 10 seconds, he's like, hey, I'm on the runway. What do you want me to do now? And I was like, I didn't shake my hands above my head, but that's what I'm like thinking, like, yes. And like, you know, like, kind of like just like all that weight came off my shoulders.
God damn.
You know, like excitement. And he said, how do I stop this thing? He asked me again.
Yeah.
And I just told him, apply pressure to the top of the pedals.
Yeah, turn the thing off.
And then the funniest thing was, he goes, hey, do you want me to turn it on to the taxiway? So I said, no, don't worry about it. The fire department, usually any kind of alert,
sure,
they come up and they just run down the runway and they follow the plane. So I said, they're going to come to you. He's like, okay, how do I shut it down? And I look at my supervisor who used to fly C-130s, and I'm like, I've never flown a caravan before. So we're like, just pull all the levers back. He's like, just pull them all back, and it cut the fuel to the engine. But that was pretty much the essence of it. Everybody in the room is, you know, like, congratulations, you're a hero. And I was like, man, I'm glad that's over with.
Jesus Christ, yeah. Well, I mean, you think about that. Like that really is. We've seen the movies, right? We've watched.
Yeah.
Okay, you gotta fly this plane. You're like, I don't know how to do this.
Like, I felt like I was in a movie.
Sure.
Like as it's going on, I was like, this can't be real.
No, and the fact that he's, you know, you didn't have a storm happening. You know, that
right.
it wasn't some crazy crosswind landing that was going to make it super hard and impossible. Like, just the conditions had to be right.
So,
he had to have the right brain. You had to have the right brain.
So he did have very difficult winds that day.
Oh.
We did have quite a bit of a crosswind. Not a direct crosswind, but pretty strong winds. Because I had went flying after, like, a couple hours later with a friend of mine. And we were fighting. We were getting good crosswind practice. But he did have a challenging wind. But I think when you get below the building sometimes, it blocks the wind when you come into Palm Beach.
Yeah.
So that kind of helps. But, no, we had great weather, which we do a lot here. We have, you know, VFR, which means, you know, visual conditions. And, you know, good visibility. Like, if we would have had, you know, lower ceilings, bad weather, it would have been really bad.
Dude. But you know, it's amazing. You guys
have totally different outcome.
You were built for this. I mean, just, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just, I wanted to tell you, like, Robert, you were built for this because you, obviously, you're great at your job, but then you got to be able to communicate. You got to be able to somehow put yourself in that guy's shoes and make him okay with this. And then that guy has got to be the kind of guy who wants to do it right and believes in himself, because panic, anxiety, I can't do this, we're going to die, you lock up. You know, we see people do that all the time, just in their own cars. They get into a situation, freeze and drive straight into a wall or another car. They cannot do what they can't get their brains and their muscles to work together. So
right.
This dude's pretty, you guys had to be in the right spot. It's an amazing guy.
Right.
Story,
yeah. You know, and kind of just some bonus information. Like I wasn't even supposed to be here that day. A friend of mine, a coworker. Yeah. Yeah.
That's straight clerks. I'm not even supposed to be here.
Yeah. So a coworker of mine had texted me the night before and said, hey, my kids are sick. Is there any way you can take my shift? And I said, sure.
God.
So it's just kind of funny how it all went down. And, yeah, I do. I'm not a very religious person, but I feel like there was, like, somebody, like, you know.
Yeah.
You know, like an angel or somebody guiding this thing, because I don't know how. You know, I right after it happened, and I got a break from all the people around me, I just texted my wife. I was like, hey, I think I just pulled off the impossible. And she's like, what do you mean? I was like, I just saved somebody's life.
Right. You did.
Yeah, that's what I text her. And she's like, call me immediately. But he came over to meet us, and that's where we got the pictures and stuff. And he shook my hand, kind of hugged. But, you know, it was a very... Yeah, I didn't cry, but, you know, like, there's tears, like, your eyes are watering up.
Yeah.
Your eyes are watering up just because it's, like, so much adrenaline and emotion and,
sure,
you know, just everybody's telling you great job, and you're like, do I deserve this? Like, we're, you know, like, it's just crazy.
Hey, man, there wasn't a big crash, and everyone lived. I would tell you,
yeah,
you deserve that,
I
man.
Watched,
like,
I saw a video of it landing yesterday, like, a better video from the south side of the airport, and I got goosebumps. I was watching it because I'm like, oh, he's landing long, because there was people in the tower, in the control tower, because we're a radar room and a tower here.
Mm-hmm.
So there was my coworkers were in the tower. They couldn't do anything but watch, and they had to get the planes away from the runway. Like, they pulled them like one taxiway over just to have a little buffer in case something went wrong. But that's where you hear some of the audio where they're like, a passenger just landed the plane, and the airline pilots are talking. But they just had to watch, so they were like, you know, fingernail biting, kind
sure
of up there watching, and because they couldn't do anything.
That's so great.
So I you know, I'm just so thankful that, you know, nobody got hurt. Sounds like the real pilot is going to recover. He had like
good
a heart issue.
Good. I'm glad he went. That was my next question. I was hoping everybody made it through this.
That's
crazy, man. By the way, you guys need to stay in touch. Like, I don't know if this bonds you as friends. Obviously, he'll always be thankful to you. But I wonder, like, if you're the same kind of people, like, does it start a friendship that goes on now
right
for, you know, down the road? But at the very minimum, you know, he better drop a case of bourbon off to you.
Well, I texted him just to make sure he got home the next day okay, because he drove himself home. And he said, yeah, just my phone's going crazy. And I told him, hey, man, I have to buy you a pitcher of beer one day if I'm passing through your area. And he said, no, they're ditto, you know. So he is very thankful, and I know he's telling his story this morning.
Yeah.
I haven't had a chance to watch it yet, but I'm looking forward to hear what he has to say. But, you know, ultimately I'm just glad that everyone's okay and he gets to, you know, enjoy his family and, you know, no problems. It was a good day.
Dude, what a great story. What a great ending, man. You know, in a world of weird, divisive politics and ridiculous tragedy and all the things that are going on around us, man, a moment like this where you go, dude, sometimes we prevail. Sometimes in the worst of situations, people live up to what they can do.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, no, dude, I love stuff like this because we all wonder, right? Don't you always?
Right.
As men,
I mean,
we all wonder what we do if we're trapped in a fire, if we're faced with this great adversity, if the moment happens where you have to do this and get it done, how will you perform? We all want to believe we'll get it done, but not everybody does, man. And this is one of those times where everybody got it done.
And you know, if it would have went the other way, like in a bad way and crashed, you know, I don't even know how I would handle coming back to work, because it would kind of really bother me.
God forbid. No, of course.
You know,
yeah,
I'm the last one.
Yeah. No, in your head, you'd be the one who failed, right? I mean, even though that's not true, there's just, as people, that's going to run through us.
Yeah, I'm the kind of person that it would really bother me.
Yeah.
Just to know that, you know, I'm the last person, and maybe I did something wrong. I made the wrong call.
Oh, but it didn't.
Yeah.
But it didn't. But it didn't, my friend. Ah, what a great story. I'm just I'm super glad to meet you, Robert. If you're just joining the show,
great
Robert Morgan, the Florida air traffic controller, who got the plane down, who talked the pilot all the way down with absolutely no experience flying a plane. His most experience, he said, I've been in a lot of airplanes.
Yeah.
Dude, it went straight goddamn like Warner Brothers cartoon on you guys.
Yeah, it did, for sure.
Well, dude, I'm so glad you took time to tell us the story and really give us this much time, because it's a fantastic story, and I hope you two stay in touch, and I hope someday we also get a chance to talk to him as well.
Okay, thank you very much, guys. Have a great day.
Take care, man. Hold on a second. Stay there, man. Hold on. What a man, right?
like the best person ever filling in on that day that he wasn't even supposed to be at work.
There's about 9 million different side little discussions about this because had that guy not been able to straighten up the guy in the plane, who's obviously in the most danger, but then this guy's got to somehow communicate to him. He's still an air traffic controller, so he's still got to do that part. Now he's also an instructor with somebody who's got to land this plane. And then, you know, you also have to believe in yourself. Like, if he lets doubt and second-guessing get inside his head, then you're right. That's how you make a mistake, and that guy crashes the plane.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So he's got to be there. He's got to believe, and he's got to get his head right.
So focused.
Then this other guy's got to get his head right. Like, he can't panic. He can't be jerky.
You can do this.
Dude, like, there's about a million, and God forbid, like, because he's right. If the guy hadn't have made it, it wouldn't have been his fault. But it would always in your heart be your fault, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's just how we're all built. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic, man.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Some call him the Prince of Poonanny,
the Baron of Butt Plugs,
the Duke of Dongs.
His mission to bring pleasure to the men and women of Kansas City.
He stands astride the Odyssey Multiplex,
waving high the big black dildo of destiny
as he brings you a game that we like to call The Adult Toy Price is Right.
That's right. It's time to play a little game we like to call
The Adult Toy Price is Right.
Here's how it works. We choose three callers from the listening audience.
Then we describe the item that's up for bid.
The listeners place their bids.
The listener who gets the closest to the actual manufacturer's suggested retail price without going over wins the prize.
And now, here's your host, the undisputed king of the Vibration Nation, Johnny Dare.
Was the guys first? Bill, welcome to the show. What's your story, Bill?
Hey, my name's Bill. I'm 38. I'm single. Have a couple sleeves and a fleshlight.
Yeah, the fleshlight's kind of the gold standard for overall sleeves.
Yeah, I mean, once I got that, like, they kind of just fell by the wayside.
See, we make you forget all other fake vaginas. It's the best fake vagina money can buy.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, listen, Bill. You're, by the way, 38, you divorced or you just always been single?
Divorced.
And how'd that work out?
I mean, you know, it was over and now moving on.
How long ago did you get divorced?
2 years.
2 years? So, and no girlfriend since then?
Kind of off and on, but nothing's really stuck.
So you're not one of those guys that, like, what they call institutionalized, that you can live outside the system?
Yeah. No,
yeah.
I don't feel like I need to.
No, I have buddies that, like,
all the time.
The second they get divorced, they have to get remarried again. Like, they just have to. They cannot live. They're just not comfortable being free range.
No, I've known some people that have been the same. So it doesn't make sense, but, you know.
Yeah. Well, listen, we all like what we like.
Exactly.
All right, Bill, you're going to play. You stay there. I got to get, who's this next guy? Bobby. Bobby, welcome to the show. What's your story?
Hey, what's up, man? 50, married. I ain't got nothing for myself, really, but my wife has, like, oh, pretty much everything.
When you say she has everything, like, if you were to ask her, would she be like, I got everything? Or are you like, you got enough?
No, she's like, I have everything. Everything from, you know, standard nipple clamps, butt plugs, whipping, she has a little whipping post she likes to get tied to, you know, just normal stuff.
Hold on.
Yeah.
You said whipping post.
Yeah.
Now, I have literally heard of every other thing, but one has a whipping post. Like, I just thought you just got tied up and somebody hit you in the ass, but you have a post. Is it in your bedroom or is it downstairs?
Is it
a secret room somewhere? Hopefully your kids can't see it.
Well, it's more of a, you know, weekends when we don't have the kids away kind of thing, and it kind of goes up real quick.
Hey, so you have a portable whipping post.
Modern times, modern solutions.
I've never been faced with this dilemma, but I was just like, I guess I would think, why can't you just put an eye hook in a beam in your ceiling and then you just like click a chain or something to it? Like, you know what I mean? Or is it just the imagery is necessary for you guys?
Yeah, well, it's more of a tactile thing. You know, you got the rough wood, you got the leather on the wood, you got the you know, leather on the cuffs, leather on the, you know. It's tactile at that point.
I get it.
It's not so much the pain thing. It's more the setting and
I get it. Is it your jam or hers?
That's hers.
Yeah. And so when you met her, she was like, "Hey, I'd like to tell you something that I and ordered you to discover together."
No, it was more along the lines of when I met her, she was kind of like in a really repressed relationship. She's 35. I actually used the first toy she's ever had on her.
Holy cow, she went from my first vibrator to tie me to the post, Steve, and punch me in the neck.
No, not punch, but
sorry, I don't know why I thought your wife had that voice. I don't mean that. Just, you know.
It's more of a choke, not a punch, but yeah.
He's so matter of fact.
Have you got a certain slap that you know really does it for?
Nah, it's literally like, it's more of a toy. And don't confuse whipping post with like I'm cutting, you know, using a bull whip on my wife.
Yeah, well, listen, I'm not there. You said whipping post. I'm like, so what's he? Because I've seen it, like, where the girl gets slapped in the face, and I'm like, I don't want to slap you in the face.
Oh no, she's too pretty to slap her in the face. That'd
right?
Slap
her in the face. I don't know your jam.
No,
listen, I have a buddy. I won't mention his name, but you know who I'm going to talk about. But the girl went home with him. He said she seemed completely normal. And by the end of the night, they had done enough cocaine that she was screaming for him to slap her in the vagina with a belt.
My ex-wife liked that.
Your wife likes that?
My ex-wife liked that.
Your ex-wife likes that. You seem to be the problem here.
Yeah, it's all me. It's always me. Just ask any of my wives.
You ask any of my wives.
I've had three. Hell. Heck. Exhale, right?
All right. So she liked to be slapped in the vagina. Well, I hope it wasn't the same girl. She didn't used to work.
No, not the same girl. Different belt, too.
She didn't work down at Westport, did she?
No.
Okay. All right. So listen, that's a discussion for another day. You're going to play today, Adult Toy. But cool. Super interesting, man. All right, you stay right there, Bobby. I'm going to get Jeff on. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hey, it's Jeff. I'm 35, married. Got a pair of handcuffs. The wife has a rabbit. She used to have another one until the dog ate it.
Oh,
the dog ate a rabbit. And how long ago was this?
A couple of years ago, that's why we had to replace it.
Okay. So I just wanted to make sure that you weren't the guy like, the dog ate. Yeah, I should do something about that, and then you just never do. Like, you should immediately replace that stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. Do you ever hit her in the vagina with a belt or tie her to a whipping post?
It's usually just a hand.
Yeah,
not a whipping post.
I've never slapped a girl in the vagina.
No.
Maybe a little. Like, not really, but, you know, like, a tap or something, if that was her jam. But I've never hauled off and like I feel like that gets you punched in the face. You know,
like a dong slap's fine. I've nothing with a hand.
I went to Good Game, my girlfriend once, and accidentally hit right in the middle. That didn't go over big. You know what I mean? I was coming from behind, like, and technically, but it was through pants. So
yeah.
So I C-punched her, basically. Yeah.
Mistake, right, you only
now,
make
now,
one.
Yeah. Now that we're all horny, let's play. All right, Jeff. Bobby, Bill, the closest to the actual manufacturer suggested retail price without going over, will receive the item up for bid.
For the gentlemen, our item up for bid today is the Jackmatic Ultra Power Pro Pump from NAF Toys.
If your beaner is a-slackin' and it's time to do some jackin', well, your friends at NAF Toys know just what to do. Yes, your joint will get to jumpin' if you just want one hand pumpin'. The Jackmatic Ultra Power Pump's for you.
That's right, fellas. Are you weary of cumbersome penile pumps that require both hands to operate?
Yes, I have grown tired of having to use both of my hands while operating most pumps.
And I long for a pump that will require only one hand to use, leaving my other hand free for important activities like operating my computer mouse, answering the phone, or holding my binoculars while I watch my next door neighbor weed her begonias.
Yeah. Pull them weeds, Loretta. Pull them hard.
Okay, we're done here.
The Jackmatic Ultra Power Pro features a 7-inch chamber,
one-hand operation,
and an easy push-button release.
It'll make you bigger and harder.
And it's great to use alone or with a partner.
Oh, Loretta, them tomatoes got some weeds in them. Those big, juicy tomatoes.
Are we actually talking about tomatoes here, or?
I really enjoy fresh produce.
Okay, buddy.
If your perversion isn't hidden, well, it's time to do some bidding. Maybe you can jack your Johnson up tonight. It's the Jackmatic Ultra Power Pro, and you know how this game will go. It could be yours only if the price is right.
Right.
Oh, Loretta, I want to show you my eggplant.
Stop it!
The Jackmatic. First of all, the Jackmatic. Let me show you the box, because this is what's going to make it for you. The Jackmatic. So, it's a completely naked dude from the 70s. But he's got his penis in this tube with a pump on it. But then there's here's the crazy part. And then there's like a naked girl who's doing it. And you're like, yeah, that seems like that's how it works out.
Mm-hmm.
Not all by yourself, shamefully.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, you have this.
This blonde harlot here.
Yeah.
By the way, sweet.
Squatting.
Sweet crispy bangs. The claw.
Oh, she. I'm sad T's not here to look at that.
Oh, my God. The blue eyeshadow, everything.
Cartoon boobs.
Oh, yeah.
She's right to go.
Yeah. The Jackmatic. The Jackmatic with the big 7-inch chamber, because that's necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, the box is fantastic.
Yeah, this is your basic, Jackmatic. So this is the pump. Okay, so it's pretty simple. It goes in there. I'd have to open the whole thing, and I'm just not going to do that to you guys. But yeah, penis in there.
Got it.
Tube in there.
Mm-hmm.
That in there.
Mm-hmm.
And look, little measuring thing, because, well, we're... You're a child, you know. You're an adult, but you're still a child. You're like,
look, it's bigger.
I got it up to 8 this time. So, good luck with all this. The Jackmatic. So, listen, they wouldn't keep making them if people didn't like them. So it must be good. Bill, the Jackmatic could be yours.
Let's go $24.99
for Bill. Bobby, listen, I don't know if this is your jam or not. I don't know if this is something you guys mess with, but what would you pay for such an item?
About $32.85.
That's a fantastic random number. All right, and Jeff for the Jackmatic.
$33.
He went a little bigger. I see a strategy. The actual manufacturer's suggested retail price.
$40.99.
Oh, Jeffy.
Jeff with the Jackmatic.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Indeed. All right, well, listen, that is all yours. So you stay right there, Jeff. Bobby, Bill, what is going on with you two? See, Bobby, you knew you'd come up a little short when he went $1 more, didn't you?
Yeah, at least I didn't come short in life.
All right, listen, well, you know what? If it made you angry, go home and have sex with your wife.
Get the belt.
I do that almost every day anyway.
Yeah. Listen, enough of you. Tie you to a whipping post and hit you with a bat.
She's tried it.
Nobody's tried it. Yeah, by the way, did she tie you up and do it?
Nah. Like I said, it was all her jam. I blame Fifty Shades of Grey.
Yeah, listen, I understand. And look, I'll do whatever she wants. Like, if whatever her jam is, unless it involves tying me up, because I feel, with my personality, it's just one of those things. Like, I probably have created some... internal, some resentment, some long-held aggressions, and the second I'm can't get out of the wrist restraints, it's time to play a game of what fits where. And do you like that? Is that what you like? Oh, are you going to just hold on and you'll get used to it?
Call me mommy,
Yeah. And I'm like, stop putting it in my ass.
I'm a girl, and I'm your friend. Don't.
No, dude, trust me. I know. I'm never letting anybody tie me up.
Oh, trust me. I have handcuffed keys
tied in strategic places around my bed frame.
Yeah, listen, I totally understand. But that's necessarily. Yeah. By the way, do you ever do? I did know a girl. By the way, I knew a really hot girl, very hot, that actually did enjoy the ball gag thing.
My wife probably didn't dig that, but they make these women hold them. She has she can't be confined in any way. It sounds weird, but like she can't be like not, can't feel like she can't breathe.
Right.
But she got these ones that have holes in them for breathing, and she kind of dug it for a little while, then just kind of like just got out of the way because you know yeah, I kind of like
this girl. I you'd have never thought of it. And she told me, and then but she it's pretty over the top, like because it goes in your mouth, but then you drool everywhere because you can't close your mouth apparently, yeah. And I don't know whatever it is. She really dug it.
Maybe she likes the whole choking thing also.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows, man? I try not to choke.
Yeah, don't do that either for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I'm afraid. Well,
jail.
I drink. You know what I mean? Like, you're like, you never want to get like, oh, I guess I went a couple seconds too long. Yeah, you're like.
Well, it's not really, you're not really trying to cut the airflow off.
Right, right. No, you're supposed to. Yeah, I know. Listen, I don't want to get into all that. I'm just trying not to finish too fast. You know what I mean? And I don't want to have to gauge my hand pressure. Like, I'm just, okay, where am I? Am I good here? Are you good? Am I good? Like, nah,
can I give you one minor piece of advice?
Yeah, sure.
The whole, you mentioned many times that Miss Von Fancy Pants doesn't enjoy the whole back door area.
Right.
Well, if you start small, it actually changes the shape of the vaginal opening, so it makes you look like John Holmes.
Yeah. So what are you saying? Just put smaller things in her butt?
No, start small.
Yeah, of course. I didn't have her sit on the bedpost, for God's sake.
What? No.
No, I know what I'm saying is I didn't. Of course I know that.
Okay, yeah, no, I'm just saying. But that's how my wife got into the whole back door area. Literally, we started with a pink.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
And then she got now she would like the accommodator, which is like apparently I can have now not only one wangy.
All right, listen, I'm no longer happy for you. This guy, I love how he sells to me like he wants to do me a favor, but really just talks to him about how awesome it is in his life. It goes back to him, and I'm still.
Please, I swear to God, I don't like playing with the back door like that. Not that much.
Listen.
Oh, my God, let's turn into a therapy session for a dude who's getting too much anal.
Listen, just take your tickets and go, sir.
I'll tell you what, man. Next time you're at Silver Ball in St. Louis, I'll buy whiskey for you.
All right, you're a good man. You hold on a second. Stay right there. Hold on. Let me get him on hold. And let me get Bill. We get Bill taken care of. Hey, Bill.
Yes.
Listen, I'm just worn out right now.
Oh, I was trying to not laugh over your guys' discussion there. That was fantastic.
All right, listen. You hold on. Make sure you get some tickets, all right?
Sounds good.
All right, stay right there. Hold on.
We learned a lot.
But yeah, I learned that Bobby's life is perfect. And I was like, look, I know. Clearly, anybody who listens to the show know that nobody's inviting me to come by for the Mensa luncheon. But I'm pretty sure I understood. Don't
we
find
know to talk down to you, John.
Well, yeah, but don't find the biggest thing in the room and be like, do you like this? Kablam.
They don't come running at her with the whole car.
I'm like, exactly. Yeah. I'm like, what? You know? Like, of course.
And baby step, John.
They have this stuff called lubricant. I'm aware. I know, man. All right. Yeah. All right.
They want what's best for you.
I get it. I guess. But I guess it's just so easy for everybody else when they hear, like, I can't get it done.
You don't know.
Then it must just be I'm too stupid. Anyway, well, let's just move on, shall we? Lindsay, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi, Lindsay. What's your story?
Hi. I'm 37. I've been married for 8 years, but we've been together 12. Everything's just gotten better as we've gotten to know each other a little bit more. So we're trying to get a little more adventurous. We've got a couple of C-rings. I've got a couple of vibrators and dildos. So looking for something new.
Yeah. All right, then. And by the way, I don't know if you heard Bobby, Lindsay.
Yes.
But how are you with the back door? How are you with you get tied up? You have a whipping post or anything you want to share with us?
You know, I do enjoy being tied up. We do have a set of handcuffs.
Everybody do worse.
I do enjoy a little bit of the choking. I heard you guys talk about that. Not big into the big door action, but a little soft choking is kind of hot.
A little soft choking. I don't know. I'm not sure how you gauge that. Like, what is a little soft choking? Is that like a little, like, for a second, or is it for pressure, or is it, what do you do?
Yeah, right before both of us finish, as long as it's not, like, cutting off my air.
Right.
Just kind of hand around the neck, a little bit of light pressure.
Yeah. Does it make you lightheaded, and that's what you like?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, a little bit lightheaded.
Mm-hmm. Didn't you just choke yourself? Don't they make a chick, like, self-choke? Can't you, like,
I don't know.
No, I like it when he does it. It's like a power thing.
All right.
Kind of like he's taking control.
I get it. All right, Lindsay. All right, stay right there. By the way, I think we definitely have put my hand in there, but the first time with my girlfriend, like, I put my hand in there, she was like,
"Are you about to do this?"
Yeah, like she looked at me like, "What's this about?" Like,
"What are you doing?"
Yeah. It was probably pretty early on. Like, you know what I mean?
Where you headed?
You think you know people, but she's like, "Ooh, what's hey oh hey oh." Ah. Yeah. No. I'm cool. Sorry, my bad. All right, Lindsay, you stay right there. I got to get Sabrina on. Sabrina, welcome.
Hi, I'm Sabrina. I'm 26. I'm engaged. I've got a vibrator. And that's pretty much it.
You got to get to business, man. We've been having people on there. We got whipping posts and anal and ball gags and choking each other out.
Totters, all sorts of stuff.
I know. I feel like super lame, super vanilla.
You need to get dirty, for God's sake. You're 26.
Yep.
Okay, I see.
You're right.
I see. Easy to talk to. This is an easy to talk to kind of girl. All right, Sabrina. What about other girls?
I'm okay with that.
You'll bring a chick home?
Oh yeah.
Wow. You see, because you're kind of shy about it, but yet you've already done that.
Yeah.
What about butt stuff?
I'm not a fan, but I mean I'll please my man. I'm okay with that.
All right. So she's a goer, and all you have is one vibrator.
Yep.
Well, let's see if we can get something else for you then. All right, then. Lindsay, Sabrina, stay there. I got to get Sarah on. Sarah, hello.
Hey.
What's your story?
I am married. I am 41. I have pretty much everything, or I've had everything. Right now we have, like, a rabbit. We have a C-ring. We have rope.
what do you do with rope? I mean, I know what you do with rope, but I feel like rope burns in your future. Like, what do they call those ligature marks where there's the big red rope burns?
Yeah.
No, we definitely like the tying up.
So when you say tying up, like, in what fashion? Like, your wrists are tied up?
Like, your hand, yeah, basically. Like,
he doesn't
that.
Do
yeah.
that weird thing where they tie, he ties your boobs up, does he?
No.
Have you seen that?
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about? I'm like, that's awful. Like, that's,
yeah.
Like, let me back up a bit, because I feel like I just hurt someone's feelings. If that's your thing, then enjoy it. But to me, it looks like, but you, if you don't know, if you see it, right?
Yeah, no.
It starts around the base of the, like, your breast where it touches this body, and then they go around it like that, and then they pull it tight like a piece of thread around your finger.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't feel like a chick would say okay to that for the most part.
Or I don't want to look at that.
No, that's happened to me. No.
If it's your jam, okay.
It wasn't. No, but, you know, you got to try everything.
Sure.
At least
once.
You got to try everything.
But it wasn't. It was like, what the hell? You know, you're like, okay.
Yeah.
And you're just kind of, no, it didn't, no. But other things, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, no, but you're right. You have to find whatever your jam is.
Right. You don't know if you don't like it if you don't try it.
What about other girls?
No, that wasn't my jam either. Again, you
did you try it?
And you realize, yeah, you know, nothing's like doing that to make you realize you don't like doing that.
Well, listen, pitching, or I assume you just didn't like pitching, but catching was okay?
No, and even that it wasn't, because it was still like a chick. I don't know. It just wasn't.
What do you think?
It didn't turn out the way I thought it would, which is fine, you know.
Selfish. All I hear is selfish.
Definitely not. But yes.
All right. Sarah, Sabrina, Lindsay, the closest to the actual manufacturer suggested retail price without going over, will receive the item up for bid. So, ladies.
For the ladies, our item up for bid today is the Vibes of New York Heat Up Money Massager from Nastoys.
Start spreading your legs. That's right, ladies. You can enjoy the New York vibe with this unique vibrator from Nastoy. Specially designed to reach all of your erogenous zones, including your G-spot.
That's not a thing!
It features 7 levels of vibration, dual motors, it's USB rechargeable, and it heats up!
It's so damn hot!
Very hot! Very hot!
I'm stationed in Poontang. It's hot! Damn hot! Real hot!
What are you doing?
I'm heating up your dinner.
Who's hungry? Who's hungry? Who's hungry?
Just place your bids on the vibes of New York. It's the vibes of New York heat up bunny massager from New York's Nest Toys, and it can be yours, ladies, if the price is right.
I don't know where New York got to be a part of this. As I'm looking at it, there's a picture of the Statue of Liberty, by the way, on the cover, but there's nothing about it that looks like the Statue of Liberty or anything in New York. It's your basic bulbous vibrator. It's got some ridges on the top, but then it's got, of course, the two doodads, basically the rabbit ears.
Mm-hmm.
It's very soft. And so I imagine when it's completely buried, you're like, mm-hmm. oh, I got it. And probably pretty damn good because these are sizable.
Yeah, I get this. Okay.
All right. So where's the on button on this thing? On the right or
the
left?
The bunny's nose? Or
the, you have no idea. Like, all right. Well, Peter part. Yes, thank you. Did you say Peter?
Peter.
Okay.
Let me, Peter.
All right, there you go. All right, so there's now that's on, and then I don't know what the other one's doing. I'll turn the heater on, too.
Alrighty.
Oh, okay, so hold on. Let me, I bet, when does the doodads turn on here? These guys aren't running. Hold on. I don't know now. Listen, somebody's supposed to have the instructions with this. Oh, there we go.
Did you get it?
I think so. Yeah.
It sounds like it'll get business done.
Hold on, let me do it. Can someone make these less technical? There's literally, by the way, this comes with an instructional. Yeah. Let me see this here. You got your small control motor. You got your control motor. Then the small control motor. That's on the left there. Use instructions. You got it. Silicone grade long press. Hold on, the two ears are the two small motors. That's the one on the left. Long press, 3 seconds. Double shock on. About here we go. That's what I got to do. That's what I wasn't getting. Now, so yeah, they
got all bases covered.
Now I got it, ladies. By now,
he knows how to do it now.
By now, she's going to sleep. This is,
here,
by the way,
take it for yourself.
Everybody just got a great look into my sex life. Just
the
a lot
most
of
patient, you
a lot
been.
Of talking, like, but yeah, no, it's here's the ears. Here's the dome. There
that's quite nice.
Yeah,
it's a lovely shade of light lavender, a pale lavender.
Yeah, no, that's
it's
that's
pretty
a,
strong.
Actually, a good one. Yeah.
And it looks like a baby's toy.
And apparently, boy.
No, so it'll blend.
It really does. No.
From that angle.
No, then your kid will comes walking out holding the handle with that in its mouth.
Ah, Ma.
Oh. It's not a pacifier, kid. Maybe you pull mommy's binky out.
That is mommy's binky. Yes, that's impressive.
Yeah. No, and
not
when
too
you,
big.
When you take a look at it from the bottom, it does look like it's got two eyes and rabbit ears mm-hmm. and a little bunny nose. Yeah. All right, well, there you go. There you go, ladies. This is going to be a good one.
Yeah.
It took me a second to figure it out, so you know it has to be okay. All right, Lindsay, what would you pay for such an item?
$89.99.
By the way, do you have any of the silicone vibrators?
No, I don't.
They're the good ones. They're the business. Those are the ones you want.
Yeah.
Sabrina, what would you bid?
I would pay $23.99.
You only have one vibrator, right?
Yeah.
Silicone, hard plastic. What is it?
Hard plastic.
God, you're like a poured masturbator. Your husband, you don't have. Are you married?
I'm gonna be married. I'm
Listen,
engaged.
You don't tell him you don't get married anymore until he learns to buy you a couple of decent sex toys.
I'll make sure to mention that.
Listen, real simple. Don't stop by. Don't stop by unless you're bearing gifts.
Right? Go get them yourself, girl.
Right. Yes, there it is. She gets it. All right. Sarah.
Yes. I'm going to say like $36.99.
Okay.
All right. The actual manufacturer suggested a retail price.
$85.99.
She did.
Sarah, Lindsay, you just overbid, and Sarah slid in.
Yeah.
Sabrina, clearly.
I won.
You actually won.
That is hilarious. Sarah. Holy crap, that's expensive.
Yeah. Can you put a price on an orgasm? I mean, I think of all the disappointing sexual moments in one's life, if you're a lady, where you're like, yeah, I'm not even close. Oh, are you sleeping? And you just think to yourself, is it really expensive when you say $85?
Yeah, though. It doesn't cost that much to orgasm. It doesn't. $85.
She's an orgasm. I mean, it had New York in the name. It's got to be fancy.
It did.
Sarah.
New York prices.
Sarah. Oh, my God. She just went New York prices on us.
Big city.
It has New York on it because it smells like pee and it has used chewing gum stuck to it.
Dude, for real.
Your guys' hands though all morning, right?
Just listen. You've done worse with your mouth. Calm down.
That's probably true.
You are. Sarah, I love Sarah. She's like, I want it, but man, is that expensive. Dude, listen, don't be that broad now who's like, I save it for fancy times like birthdays. I just use it.
No. We burn the candles. We use the china. It's cool.
Yeah, all right. You stay right there.
Jesus Christ. We use the china.
So, Sabrina, you bid $23. Have you even looked at dildos online? Vibrators, anything?
Not for real. I can tell I'm very inexperienced.
Yeah. She doesn't want to get herself down. She's like, man.
Hey, you got an Amazon account?
I do.
Listen, literally, they have a section called Sexual Wellness. You can order them on your Amazon account, and nobody knows it. It literally shows up like in an Amazon box.
I got Prime. It'll be here tomorrow.
I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you. Sabrina, trust me. Look around on this one. You may find that you're a pretty happy person. You know what? You may get a couple toys and think to yourself, I don't want to get married. I think I'm okay. So good luck with that. All right, Sabrina?
All right,
I'll get you some tickets, too. I'm going to make sure we hook you up. Lindsay.
Yes.
$4. $4 Damn. You missed it by.
I know. Dang it. That was myself. I almost went with 79, and I was like, oh, I'm going to go with the 89.
Go home. You can angry masturbate.
Yep.
All right. Madsturbating is what we call that.
Yes.
All right.
I'll have to get a big gun out for that one.
All right, then. I'll have to get the big one out for that one?
Yeah. Well, I've got one that does a lot of its own motions and wiggling around. It's very interesting.
You refer to that as the big one?
Yep.
The big one. Have you seen those effing machines, the sex machines?
Yeah, it's kind of like that, but it's like with a suction cup.
Wow. The Punisher.
Yeah.
That's how she's going to kick off on Monday.
Yeah.
Get it?
That's the kind of, stay right there. Hold on, I'll get you hooked up. That's the kind of girl that, you know, you meet at a bar and she just whispers, bruise it or lose it.
God.
Bruise it or lose it.
You need a new vibrator or a big old dong.
Maybe a big rubber Gucci-shaped humpy toy.
Well, there's a place you can go and it won't take long.
Maybe a fist-sized butt-plus what you enjoy.
Well, there's a place you can go that we all know where you can get on your freak. If your mom needs a dong the size of a small chop center to Moonlight Adult Boutique.
Moonlight Adult Boutique. Proud sponsor of the Adult Toy Price is Right. With two locations to serve your every naughty need. Find them online at MoonlightAdultBoutique.com.
Because Moonlight is a place for you. Oh, giggity, 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 you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Yeah.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.